If you want anything saying in like a kind of a voiceover fashion, like in a world, now is the time to get the lines into me because I've got a bit of a bad throat and it makes me sound like Barry White.
I don't think it does, Martin. I do know what Barry White sounds like, and it doesn't quite sound like you. But it, you know, it's you may be Barry Gray at the moment, I would say.
Right. Okay. Barry Beige.
Yeah. You're on that kind of spectrum, but not quite.
In a world with loads of Eurovision podcasts, only one will rise to the top. It's Nullpois.
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back for another year of madness with Nullpois. I'm Laura, that is Martin, and we are a Eurovision fan podcast based in the UK. We don't know everything about Eurovision, but we are trying to learn in this year of Eurovision coming to the UK.
Yeah,
it's happening this year, Martin.
We can finally say that it is happening this year, and I'm so excited about this. What a wonderful moment in 2023. I'm going to just enjoy saying this now, okay? It's 2023. This year, the Eurovision Song Contest will be hosted in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy times indeed. I think I had a dream actually that we won Eurovision, and I was like, oh, it's coming back to the UK again, which was, you've just reminded me of that. I didn't remember I'd thought of that, but I don't know if that dream will come true. We would like, I guess, your predictions for 2023 in terms of Eurovision. We could tell you how you could get in touch with us with those predictions a little bit later on in the show. But as we're saying, you know, it's 2023 now, and I hope you enjoyed our best bits that we put out in the previous episode where we look back at 2022. I just thought it was worth saying, I didn't catch this myself, but I did notice this on quite a lot of Twitter accounts, this video of London's New Year's Eve celebrations, and I thought it was amazing. Part of it, they actually played Kalish Orchestra and lit up the sky with the colours of the Ukrainian flag. And let's just listen to a little bit of this celebration. It really was very moving to watch.
Thank you for supporting Ukraine.
This is the town which wants to open its hearts and homes to Ukrainian refugees.
Slava Ukraini!
London stands with all those around the world displaced by conflict, strife and the climate crisis.
This is the point at which the Eurovision Song Contest breaks out of its box, right, and becomes part of the public discourse. It's moments like that where the whole of the UK, whether they're Eurovision fans or not, are watching and listening to Kalish Orchestra, seeing the Ukrainian flag, and Eurovision's part of people's lives and part of people's conversations. And it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, it feels like a really magical moment.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, you can be a bit cynical and be like, well, you know, obviously the BBC is hosting Eurovision this year, it's happening in the UK, Ukraine did win, so you know that they were probably going to do some kind of nod to it, but I honestly felt quite emotional seeing that they did do that, and just showing, you know, the UK has always had this really strong link to Ukraine. And remember, of course, Ukraine, the public vote gave the UK 12 points in Eurovision, which was, you know, a really nice symbol to show that, you know they kind of appreciate that support. So I just think it despite all those kind of things, you could say, well, they probably were bound to do something. I think it's really nice that they did. Just a nice little moment. I didn't catch it myself, but if you, we'll try and retweet that on our Twitter if you want to have a look at it, because it is a really nice moment.
Speaking of New Year's Eve, I was watching the coverage on the BBC, and just before they cut to Big Ben and and all the fireworks from London and the London Eye and everything, who was the person ringing in the new year? None other than Eurovision's own Sam Ryder, which I thought was great. Again, another example. Eurovision breaking out of its box.
Yeah, and I've got to say, although I didn't watch it, I did look at people's reaction to... he did a big sort of New Year's Eve show, didn't he? He was joined by lots of different artists, and he was, you know, playing his guitar and going crazy like he likes to do in his big spangly suit. And a lot of people, I was looking at the reviews, everyone thought he was great. He was called a national treasure. People saying, well, you know, that phrase gets bandied about a little bit too much. But
yeah, people are calling me national treasure all the time. I'm like, shut up, stop calling me national treasure. No, sick of it.
A national disgrace, I think you're getting a bit confused. There. But yeah, a lot of people, you know, just singing Sam Ryder's praises, really. And this guy can only go higher, can't he? I think this guy is set to have a cracking 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. And all power to him. One thing I'll say about Sam Ryder, big mouth.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah, okay.
This is Nul Poir, a Eurovision fan podcast, still to come, and I know that you are desperate for this. The conclusion, the concluding part.
They're begging for it, Martin. They're crying out for it.
The concluding part of our Christmas quiz, which we did on Christmas Day, our Christmas Day episode. You can go back and listen to it. It ended in a tiebreak, which we said we would conclude in the next episode, which we then forgot.
It's
rolled over to this time. We are desperate to conclude it, to find out who the winner is. So that will come very, very soon. But speaking of winners, see how well put together this podcast is.
Wow,
speaking of winners... there is stuff to be talked about.
Oh, and that was such a fantastic link. Thank you, Martin. Yeah, well, very quickly, the sort of Eurovision Awards results are in. We didn't cover this last time because we were doing best bits. These are just little awards that the EBU throws. They mean nothing, basically. But I just thought, since we mentioned that they were actually happening, it might be worth just running through some of the winners. So they had awards like Best Innovative Staging, and unsurprisingly, Serbia Constructor won for Incorpore Sano. Doesn't it seem so long ago since all of these songs, even though it was just obviously May 2021? Best non-qualifier was Albania, Ronala with Secret, which I did like that song. So again, Serbia won again for Best Lyrics, which, you know, makes sense because it was all about Meghan Markle's hair. Unsurprisingly, Subwoofer for Norway won Best Look. I think... you know, that's fair. Lithuania, Monica Liu won Best Hair. Okay, Betty Boop, I think you like to call her, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I remember. Oh, I love this little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, I know, right? UK did win an award, Spaceman Sam Ryder. Sam Ryder got Best Official Video. You know, it's a bit of a cop-out award, but all right, we'll take it. Chanel Spain got Best Choreography. Again, I think we can all agree that was a deserved award. She was bopping all over the place. Finally, and again, I think everyone will agree with this, best moment, Ukraine's televote results, which I think Sam Ryder was in there for Sam Ryder Consoles Marius Bear. But I think we can all agree Ukraine's televote results was the best moment of Eurovision 2021. So there you go. Those are the Eurovision awards.
They mean absolutely nothing. Now, though, to something that also means nothing, but is quite exciting, because we've been talking about this for a little, well, basically since we started the podcast and discovered it. The ESC 250, which we do need to explain again for people who've never heard of it. What is the ESC 250, Laura Kress?
So the ESC 250, Martin Williams, it's a yearly poll. Eurovision fans pick their favourite 250 entries from the contest history. They vote, and then the results are revealed by ESC Radio and songfestival.be throughout at the end of the year. And this really is the only thing we've noted from this is basically Loreen, the Eurovision champion of 2012 for Sweden with Euphoria, has won for the past 10 years with that song. Every single year, Loreen has won the ESC 250, and we assumed that reign would continue. But this year, finally, the ESE 250 crowned a new champion.
Come on! Yes! Woo! Thank you! Brilliant. This is wonderful. I will say this, having looked at the top 10, not one, the oldest song in the top 10 is from 2012. And, oh no,
well,
sorry, that's not true. There's a
2003
in there that I've just noticed, yeah. But most of them, I will say, having to now reconfigure my entire thoughts, most of them are very recent, is the kind of point I'm trying to make. And
apart
I
from one
say,
in 2003.
Where is Waterloo?
You always say it every year. You know, it's funny, I messaged Martin and I was like, oh, Euphoria hasn't won number one. Can you guess what has? And Martin immediately said, is it Waterloo? I said, nope.
Well, why nope. not? Why doesn't Waterloo feature?
Well, I'll be honest. One of the reasons is probably because the people voting on these polls probably weren't alive when Waterloo came out.
Well,
and so they
so
vote for songs
what?
They watch.
So what?
I know, I agree. But I think, you know, you do tend to vote for songs that you watched and remember and enjoyed.
Just to
and
say, by the way, also, Waterloo is there. It is at number 20.
Yes.
But it needs to win.
I mean, I would just say, I don't think it is at number 20, actually. I can't see it in the top 20. Where the hell are you looking?
Oh,
22.
Sorry, that was the...
What's wrong with
sorry,
you,
Sorry, that was
Martin?
The 2021 results. That was the 2021 results. I just basically, I've done a search on the webpage for Waterloo and to find out where it is. No, it is there in this one. It's not at 20. It is at 22.
He's at 22, I just said.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was too
what
busy searching for it. But it's dropping further and further down. It should be going
much
further
like
and further
my
up.
Patience with this podcast.
Okay.
the thing is, but do you not think like Waterloo and Aber have kind of had their day in the sun? Like it's a bit like, let's celebrate some of the newer songs. I kind of think is another argument you could say, like, yes, Waterloo by ABBA is a great song, and you know it's still in a high position. I just kind of feel like let's sort of celebrate newer song. Like everything that's to be said about Waterloo has been said, and you know let's just there's also good songs out there that have been out in the past 10 years. Let's celebrate them.
You do. I mean, I have to say, joking aside, you do make a good point. Sorry, I just slapped myself in the face. I don't know quite.
I'm really worried about Martin. What's going on? You seem all over the place.
I don't know. I think my hands
sort of... Have
you
had something to drink? What's happening here?
No, I haven't. All I've had is some crisps.
Were they laced in rum?
I don't know. I'll just check. Hold on. Just Thai sweet chili flavour.
Maybe you're allergic. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, well, I just slapped myself in the face in sort of a weird sort of arm movement I did. Anyway, let's look at the... what I was saying was that I do agree with you. Let's look at the top 10 then, shall we, in the ESC 250. I'll start at number 10.
You got the right page this time.
Yes, thank you. And it's down from 5 last year to number 10. Barbara Pravi and Voila from France in 2021 is there at number 10. Number 9, Cressingtons.
It's not me, it's Diodato with Fire Amare for Italy 2020, which obviously never got to actually be performed apart from in that kind of sad show they did, which wasn't the actual song contest. That was at 13, so that has crept up to number 9 this year.
As has Beth's Dime from Spain in 2003, which is at number 8 this year, up from 9. It's a faller, though, for who at 7?
Duncan Lawrence from the Netherlands with Arcade 2019 that came out. Of course, it won in 2019. It was at number 4. It's now down to number 7.
Ukraine's Go-A and Shum from 2021 is at number 6 this year.
In at number 5, it's Måneskin. Of course, the winners for Italy of 2021 were Zitti e Buoni, and they were at number 2, but they dropped to number 5.
One of your favourites, Cress, Fuego, the Cypriot entry from 2018, is up 2 places, actually. Eleni Fouriera is at number 4.
Indeed. And another favourite of mine, Cornelia Jacobs from Sweden with Hold Me Closer. Of course, in 2022, she performed that. Stays at 3.
And it's at number 2 where we find Loreen and Euphoria.
Yes.
So down
so, you know,
a place.
She still did okay.
Yeah, she did very, very well. She did very, very well.
But at number one, go on, Chris. You do. I'll say who it was. You can say the title.
So it's Slow Mo by
Chanel.
Yep, for Spain, and that was, of course, 2022.
There you go. So that's the ESC top 10, the ESC 10. But that's the top 10 of the ESC 250 from this time around. Surprised that that's number one?
Not really, when you consider, I think, that Spain just had a big voting contingent and they all just voted. So that's right. What happened.
Thank you for the insight, and that concludes the section on the ESC 250. And we move on. Swiftly, I think, to the concluding part of this podcast. Because, by the way, what's our stupid feature? No flop that Eurobop yet.
No, because we just need to get this quiz question done. Come on, Martin, get on with it. Stop delaying things. I want to win.
Earlier in the podcast series, Cress and I took on an epic battle. And it was over Christmas. It was determining who would be the winner. And we drew. We needed a tiebreak question. Step forward, please, Sam Ross of ESC Insight and 12 Points from America podcast, who'd handily recorded us an additional question.
Very thoughtful of her. Thank you.
Yeah, we will use this to determine who the winner is. And here is the question. Go ahead, please, Sam Ross.
Hey there, No Pawns team. This is Samantha Ross calling. How's it going? Calling from the 12 Points from America podcast and occasionally a little bit of moonlighting with the EBU itself. I actually just got back from a week in Yerevan at the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. It was an amazing time. They put on a great show. If you haven't already seen it, I highly, highly recommend you check it out. Now, looking at the results of Junior Eurovision this year, I noticed that there were three countries that actually got their highest results ever. Now, we have France, who they've won it before, but technically they've had 200 points in the past, and this time they won it with 203 points. What are the other two countries that got their best Junior Eurovision results ever? I'll give you a little hint. One of these countries, the one that came in fourth place, only debuted at the contest in 2015. The other one came in eighth place, and technically they debuted in 2006, dropped out after 2007, rejoined in 2017, and has been back every year since, except for 2020 for COVID reasons. Anyway, so coming in fourth place and eighth place, what are those two mystery countries?
Oh, I mean, I'm very confused. I should say at this point, I'm very confused.
So basically she's saying which came fourth and eighth.
Yeah. And
in
also,
Junior Eurovision. Yeah. That's kind of the question, isn't it?
Yeah. Really? Or the question is what she actually said, which was, yeah, but I see what you mean. There's two ways of working these out. There's two ways of working this out.
What we're saying here, is there a half a point for each or a point for each, or what are we doing?
I think we go with a point for each.
Okay. I mean, not that it really matters because this is the tiebreak question, but
yeah, this is the question to end all questions. Okay, I will say
We're writing this down, right? We're not just saying it out.
Oh, I need to find a pen in. Hold on. I've got a pen. Yeah. Okay.
Come on. He just has no respect for kind of doing this in a proper fashion at all.
Okay. I'll tell you the thing now. I can't remember who was in Junior Eurovision, but
I know I've got one of them right. I'm going to say that now.
Well, I've written down two things. I don't hold that much.
Let me just think of what the second one will be. I don't really know. I'm just going to guess for the second one. Right, okay. I've written mine down, so you can see I haven't cheated. But go on then. What were you going to say for yours?
Poland and Romania.
Okay, and I've gone for Ireland and Italy.
Oh dear. Right, okay. Very different answers there. Time to find out who is correct. Go ahead, Sam.
Are you stumped?
Yes.
Did you know this one?
No.
All right, so coming in fourth place this year, their best Junior Eurovision result ever was Ireland. Sophie Lennon's Solas came in fourth place overall. Really gorgeous song. And coming in eighth place was Portugal. Nicolas Alves with the song Anos 70, or the 70s is what that translates to, came in eighth place. Their very first time in the top 10 at all. Did you get them? Whether you got them right or not, wishing you a happy, healthy, fantastic new year. All the best for 2023, and hopefully we will run into each other in Liverpool. Bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Oh, bye. Thank you
I'm
for
sure
that.
We will.
I'm sure we
sure will.
I'm sure we will,
Sam.
As well.
So what does that mean then? What does that mean? Guess I've won again.
Yes, you've won again. Yes. Well done, Cressingtons.
Couldn't even remember Ireland. No wonder they never vote for us.
Okay. Yeah, that's what that is. That's
the reason. There's definitely
the
no other reason.
There's no other reason it could possibly be. Right. That'll do us, I reckon, for another edition of this podcast. Really hope you enjoyed it. A quick message from me and Cress to you. If you are not yet joining us on Patreon, it'd be lovely to see you there. We post this podcast at least 24 hours before it is released in the usual fashion. So if you want to be getting it all hot off the press, Patreon's where you need to go. We don't ask for anything at all, but if you want to support us on Patreon, it's like it's £1 a month or £3 a month if you're feeling particularly loaded or generous or whatever. And it just goes towards making more of these podcasts, basically. We don't make any money off this, and so we're just doing it. We do not make the money. But if you do fancy just supporting us in whatever way you can, it is much, much appreciated. There's loads of little fun things on there, and you do get to have the episode 24 hours in advance. So head on over. It's patreon.com/nullpoir.
It certainly is. And I'll just give a little shout out to our active ones at the moment. Thank you very much to Nathan, Jem, Theo, Richard, and Emma. Thank you very much for supporting us, because it's, you know, it's nice to mention you a little bit. And one thing you can do as a patron is, of course, because you get these episodes a lot earlier on, as Martin said, at least 24 hours early, you can comment on our posts as well and have a bit of a reaction from us earlier on than anybody else. If you do want to get in touch with us, there are plenty of ways to get in touch as well. Even if you're not a patron, you can talk to us on Twitter at Poirtnull on Twitter, POINTSNUL. Also on Instagram, Nullpoir Podcast, and Gmail, finally, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. And I kind of want to hear from you for next week, your predictions for Eurovision 2023, since we're at the start of the year. And maybe me and Martin will have a little think for next time what our kind of predictions are. They could be funny ones. It doesn't all have to be, you know, serious stuff. It doesn't just have to be obvious things like who will win, since obviously we don't really know the artists or the songs yet. But it could be just things like, who do you think is going to host it? Who do you think the UK might pick? Anything that is going to be happening on the stage in Liverpool? What will the interval act be? Any kind of fun stuff like that. Let's hear your predictions for Eurovision 2023.
Always good to hear from you. And we look forward to bringing you some of those thoughts and some of those comments on the next edition. And I will go back to my voiceover voice now, because I've got my bad throat, and I'll say, in a world where Laura and Martin have done the Eurovision podcast, it's time to end and say goodbye. We'll see you again on the next edition of Nullpoir.
Oh.